Good evening. So I've been asked to read from Matthew 6, 1 to 18 for the scripture here this evening. And while you're turning there, just a couple thoughts I had here. Just appreciated the both the Sunday school lesson and the message this morning on Thanksgiving, and just a good reminder to all of us, to me especially, I guess, of just the importance of being thankful and grateful for what we have and what the Lord has done for us. And like as Brother Ken mentioned in closing there, that is the will of Christ. I think sometimes maybe I forget that. It's easy to get discouraged and focus on the negatives and things, but it was also brought out, that it is sin to grumble and complain, and but we are taught and commanded in the scripture to be thankful, and I think that's something I can definitely do better at. And we also talked about how it changes our whole outlook on life. It changes our attitude and our outlook when we choose to be thankful. And it often is a choice. We first have to choose. Even if we don't feel thankful in the moment, if we make that choice, then it can change our attitude. So just some thoughts from this morning. And so we're going to read here now from Matthew 6, 1 to 18. And I don't know what all our brother is going to share with us this evening, but just it's a lot of good just practical teaching and admonition here, and also thoughts on our motive for not only what we do, but why we do what we do. So starting Matthew 6 here, "Take heed that ye do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, that they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive your trespasses. Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head, and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." All right, all those who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. I had one quick thought on Thanksgiving and being grateful. The 10 months that many of you remember that my family, when I was 13, I turned 14 in Ukraine. But those 10 months will forever change my life when it comes to looking around and being thankful for what we have. I've never considered myself or our family at that time to be wealthy by any means, but when we saw some of the situations there, I mean, I know there's a lot of poor people here in the States as well, but we saw some of the situations there in Ukraine and what some of them people live with and through. We are spoiled rotten here in the U.S. That has changed my life. As we look at the scripture and the lesson for this evening, if you'd like a title, Josh kind of nailed it there. I'd like to title the message of this evening, Motive. What is behind, or what is the reason behind my actions? And as we go through the scripture here this evening, we'd like to look at how Jesus, he goes over three different things here. He goes over giving, prayer, and fasting, and he uses a pattern as he goes through these three areas. He uses a pattern of teaching, and he goes through the same pattern in each one, and we'd like to kind of take notice to that. We see as Jesus begins this new thought here in chapter 6, obviously this is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and we've had a few sermons here lately referenced to this. I think Brother Jim, he used some of this, and Brother Brian had a sermon there on fasting. But we're going to go through here and maybe take a little bit different look at chapter 6 and how Jesus teaches on these three things. So we're going to look at these three areas. First of all, we're going to look at giving. Jesus teaches on giving alms here, or doing good and giving to others. We also see Jesus teaching on prayer here. Those who pray and take prayer seriously. And finally, we see fasting, abstaining from food for some religious or spiritual purpose. Again, as we go through these areas, I'd like us to notice the pattern that Jesus uses as he goes through these three areas and he teaches on giving, prayer, and fasting. All three of these areas matter greatly to God. God wants us to be kind and to do good in the world, to give of ourselves and to those around us. God desires that we pray. And even though God knows our needs before we even ask, he desires us to ask him and to come to him in prayer. Something that I many times can't quite wrap my head around. That God knows everything. He knows what we need. He knows what we're going to ask before we ask it. And yet he still desires that we come to him and express our thoughts to him. God also wants us to be so consumed with him that he is more important even than the food that we eat. In all three of these areas, there's something else that God expects. There's something else that God expects of us, and it's something of critical importance. God expects man to have the correct motive. This is very important to God, so much that the fate of our eternal life is determined by our motive. Because of this, Jesus teaches and warns us about right and wrong motives. So as we think of motive, or we think of motives, we might ask the question, why are we doing what we're doing? What is the driving force behind the decision that I am about to make? What reason do I give myself for pursuing this path? You see, every decision we make has a reason behind it. There's some process, some conscious or subconscious thing is working in our minds to reason out why we are going to do the next thing or our next thing we're going to do there. Sometimes I think it's just wise to stop and to specifically think, why am I about to do what I'm doing? God has created each of us with the ability to think, to desire, to reason, and to project ahead or to think ahead. God also knows that left to ourselves, we will do everything possible to make sure that we are making the decision that benefits me the most. Usually that decision has little regard to how it affects those around me. As long as I'm getting the best end of the deal, why does it matter how it affects those around me? So left to ourselves, we will do everything we can to get a better deal than those around us. And so we start down that road of doing the right things for the wrong reason. And so we see Jesus here in his teaching warning about right and wrong motives. The first four verses here talk about giving or giving alms. And we'd like to look at this. We're going to kind of go verse by verse or kind of group the verses together here in giving, prayer, and fasting. The first thing we'd like to look at here in verse 1 is the warning. Jesus starts out here in verse 1 with take heed. He starts with a warning to emphasize the importance of motive. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. It's understood here that all alms are to be given. The warning here is the way or the motive in which they are given. So we are expected to give alms. The viewpoint of Jesus here is not teaching that we should give alms. The viewpoint is we are expected to give alms, but be careful of your motive. That's the viewpoint of Jesus here. So what is an alm? What are alms? The word alms, I looked it up, it means righteous acts. And so giving of alms was the greatest thing a Jew could do. It's not only money, but it was righteous acts. It was the first act of religion. Giving alms merited an assured one of righteousness and salvation. Jesus warns here, do not give for recognition, or you will lose your reward. That's the warning. There are two important lessons here in the first verse. First, we must guard and be alert to the motive in which we are giving. Take heed, Jesus says there. The second thing is, it is the duty of a Christian to do good and to give alms. In these first four verses alone, we are told four times to do alms, give or do alms. As we look at motive a little closer, there can be wrong motive to do good. And this is what Jesus is warning against here. And giving for recognition is the wrong motive for giving. There are several wrong motives for giving. We're going to list a few here and doing good. First one is a person may give for recognition and prestige, to be praised by others in life and remembered in death. A person may desire the applause or appreciation of and praise of others. It might be a reason for giving. A person may also give for self-applause, self-satisfaction, to feel comfortable with what he had done. A person may give out of obligation to fulfill a sense of duty. A person may give to try to secure the recognition of God, to feel that God is pleased and favors him because of what he has done or what he has given. These are just some of the ways that we can give with wrong motive. Another thing to think about, it's not always wrong to give alms when men see us. Sometimes this cannot be helped. The warning is giving to be seen of men, not giving when men see us. Okay, that's very important. Giving for recognition is a characteristic of the hypocrites. Jesus says that here. Be not as the hypocrites. So what is a hypocrite? What does hypocrite mean? Hypocrite means an actor, one who puts on a show, a fake, a mask, appearing to be something else. And in verse 2, we read It says they, or the hypocrites, they sound a trumpet before them as they go. Before them, and it may be put into today's terms, we could say blowing one's own horn for self-praise. They're blowing the trumpet, letting people know we're on our way. Look who, I'm coming in. Notice where they blow the trumpet. It says in the synagogues or in church, to seek the praise of the religious around them. It also says they sound the trumpet in the street or in public to let the public know and seeking the praise of the public. If we turn to Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, we see Jesus says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." And if we look at the example of Jesus Christ himself, what a perfect example we have of humility and humbling oneself. As he humbled himself from the splendors of heaven and came to earth and being a man. And if that wasn't enough, he humbled himself and submitted himself to the will of God and submitted himself to the death of the cross. Not only becoming a man out of heaven, but submitting himself to the cruel death of the cross. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I'm just going to read that. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." What an example we have of Jesus Christ humbling himself to the death of the cross, to the glory of God the Father, and we see then God exalted him. We have looked at some wrong motives for giving. Now we'd like to look at some right motives or a correct motive for giving and doing good. If we read on there in verse 3 of our lesson text, Matthew chapter 6, verse 3, "But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth." In other words, we're to give unconsciously. Give out of an inner compulsion to and a love to help with whatever need we see. Give secretly. Give quietly. Keep a low profile. Stay out of the center of applause. There's two reasons listed here for doing good quietly and secretly. The first one is that God sees all secrets. He sees secret giving and alms and deeds, and God knows your motive. The second thing is God rewards openly. If we notice the wording there at the end of verse 4, it says, "The Father himself will reward thee openly." So in giving, both the right and wrong motives receive a reward. The wrong motive receives the reward of the praise of men. And when we give with the correct motive, God himself will reward us openly. The question is, who will we receive our reward from? As we move on into the area of praying, as Jesus continues on with his thoughts here in verses 5 through 15, we think about prayer, and there are a lot of sermons and lessons and things we can learn about prayer and can be preached on prayer and be taught about prayer, the different types of prayer, God answering or not answering. It's a very broad subject. Prayer is the way a believer fellowships with God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is making our requests known to God, even though, like we said before, he already knows before we ask. He knows our needs and our wants, but he likes us to express that to him. God desires that we fellowship with him through prayer. This evening, we're going to focus more on prayer in the context of what we just went over in relation to giving. Again, we'd like to look at that pattern that Jesus sets forth here in giving. He follows suit here in, in prayer and in fasting as well. So we're going to look at that pattern that he laid out. Verse 5 starts off with, "And when thou prayest." Again, it is understood that we will pray. Jesus, again, here is teaching, not teaching from the viewpoint of how you should pray, but the motive behind why you are praying. It's expected that we will pray. It's understood that we are going to pray. Just like in giving, what is the motivation behind our prayers? Is it possible to pray with wrong motive and in the wrong way? Is it possible to pray and never be heard by God? Is it possible to pray and only be speaking to ourselves, and our prayers go no higher than our ears? I think we can answer yes to each one of those questions. And this is why Jesus points out and teaches about right and wrong motives for praying. Again, the wrong motive is to be seen or heard of men, verse 5. The right motive is to be heard by God, that's verse 6. Again, we see that pattern Jesus used with giving. Why are we praying, and who do we want to hear? Matthew 15, verses 7 and 8. "Ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, This people draweth nigh to me unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." As we think of some wrong motives for praying, as stated here in verse 5, praying to be heard or seen of men is praying with the wrong motive. Praying, even the love of praying, is not a sign that a person really knows God. Jesus said that a man who prays to be seen of men loves to pray, but he is a hypocrite. And we remember what a hypocrite is. It's a fake, an actor. Notice again where these hypocrites love to pray. In the synagogue or in church. In the streets or in public. Anywhere where they can receive recognition for their prayers. Or anywhere they have a crowd or people around them where someone can hear how they're praying. We do need to remember that there are times when public prayer is necessary and commanded by God. The warning here is not that we shouldn't pray in public, but that we should guard against wrong motives when praying in public. We need to keep that in mind. A thought of the parable there that Jesus taught in Luke 18 of the publican and the Pharisee. It says both went down to pray. And we know the account well. How the Pharisee stood and he started praying. And in my own words, "God, I do fast twice a week for you. I give you all this. Can everyone around me hear what I do for God?" And it says that the publican would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but smote on his breast and said, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Both men prayed in public there. One exalted himself. The other went home justified. What is our motive for praying? As we think of right or correct motives for praying, the right motive is to be heard by God. That's why we should be praying. And this takes a willingness to take time to pray. We have to have the will to pray. We need to get alone and spend time with our Heavenly Father. And this is done through prayer. Think of a closet. A closet is necessary. Believers need to have a private place where they can get alone with God, free from all the distractions that this life has to offer. There are many distractions. We carry a lot of distractions a lot of times in our pocket around with us where we go. We need to get away from the distractions, get in a quiet place where we can pour out our hearts to God, where we can have a personal relationship. And a personal relationship is absolutely essential. God is our Father. He is available as a father is to his children, only in a perfect sense. We as fathers try to be available to our children, but we sleep, we go to work, we are away, we're not there constantly. God is a father, is available in a perfect sense. He's always there for us. No matter when we cry to him, he will be there. And when separation does come, we can be assured that we are always the ones to be blamed, not our Heavenly Father. There is a reward for praying. And if we follow the pattern Jesus lays out here for giving, we see that prayer, just as giving, has a reward as well. Those who pray to be heard of men will have the praise of men. That's their reward. And those who pray in secret, the Father will reward openly. I would encourage everyone to hear, to find that secret place, that place of privacy, and pour out your heart to God and make it a routine. And I can guarantee you will grow in your Christian walk. There is much more that could be said about prayer. Verses 9 through 13 of our text here this evening, we have the model prayer, or the Lord's Prayer, as we call it. And we're going to kind of skip over that here this evening. We're not going to dig into this. But it's a very rich couple of verses there. A lot can be gleaned from that. We are going to move on to verses 16 to 18 and look at fasting. As we mentioned before, fasting is abstaining from food for a religious or spiritual purpose. Biblical fasting means more than just abstaining from food. It means to abstain from food in order to concentrate upon God and His answer to a particular matter. Again, Jesus follows the pattern as He did in giving and prayer. Notice the first few verses here, or the first few words in verse 16. Moreover, when ye fast. Again, as like we said before, the idea here is that believers will fast. It's not a command to fast. It's understood that you will fast. Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 20 here. I'm just going to read those two verses. And the disciples of John and of the Pharisees used to fast. And they came and said unto him, and said unto Jesus, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, can the children of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then they shall fast in those days. We're now in that time. Jesus has ascended on high and is waiting to return when God sees fit. And so we are now in the days when we fast. Again, the thought here is fasting is not being commanded here. It's assumed that believers will fast. And so following that same pattern that Jesus gave in giving and prayer, we have a motive for fasting and we have reward for fasting. As we think about motive, thinking of fasting here, the benefits of fasting are enormous, but there are also dangers. It is possible to fast for the wrong reasons. And this is why Jesus is teaching on right and wrong motives for fasting. And we're not discussing medical or health reasons here this evening. There are times when we're told by our doctor or the medical field to go without food. That's for maybe a specific test or surgery. There are also many health benefits to intermittent fasting. This evening, we'd like to focus on the religious part of fasting. And there are four reasons that people fast for religious purposes. People fast to gain a sense of God's approval and of self-approval. People fast to fulfill a religious act. People fast to gain religious recognition. Or people fast to genuinely meet God for some special purpose. All but one of these are wrong motives for fasting. as we think of, we just talked about prayer there, and now we're talking about fasting. But prayer always accompanies fasting. When we read throughout Scripture, you can pray without fasting, but you will never ever fast without praying when you're doing it in the biblical context here. Prayer always accompanies fasting. One of the dangers warned about here in verse 18 is that we are not to appear to those around us, to appear unto men, to be fasting. Changing our appearance or the way we act or behave to draw attention to the fact that I'm fasting. On the other hand, Jesus contrasts that way, On the other hand, Jesus contrasts that with the correct way or the correct motive to fast. In verse 17, we are to anoint our head and wash our face. We are to fast without notice. We are to fast before God and not before men. Why should anyone need to know we are fasting other than God Himself? It is between us and God, not between us and others. And I know there are times when we call for a day of prayer and fasting, and I think we all understand that. It's still between us and God. As we think of rewards for fasting, again, following that pattern, motive and reward. Fasting, just as prayer and giving, have a reward. Fasting for the wrong reason or with the wrong motives gives the reward of the recognition of men. Fasting for the right and correct motives, again, has the reward of God Himself. In each of these cases, wrong motive equals reward of men. To be seen of men, you have that reward. That's your reward. The done in the correct motive, you have the reward of God Himself in each of these three areas. It's interesting that God does not say how often or when we should fast. But He does tell us we are to fast. We must take every precaution to fast exactly as He says, before God, in secret, and without show. Very important. We do need to be careful as we look at these three areas, giving, prayer, and fasting. I want us to be very careful not to fall into the trap of judging the motive of every person we see giving or hear praying. God knows their motive and will reward accordingly. We should focus on our own motives and reasons for doing what we're doing. I think it's very interesting that in each of these areas, there are those that are giving, praying, and fasting for the wrong reasons and with the wrong motives. And Jesus calls those hypocrites. The interesting part to me is that Jesus does not tell true believers to stop giving, stop praying, and stop fasting because it's being abused. This tells me that there are always going to be those that are doing the right things for the wrong reasons. But even in that fact, we are called and commanded to continue doing what the Lord, through His Word, has commanded. We do not disregard a command or lay aside a biblical principle just because someone has done it for the wrong reason. We are simply told to continue with the correct motives and the right attitude. So let's be very careful as we observe fellow believers around us that we do not quickly jump to the conclusion that they are giving or praying for the wrong reasons. God Himself will set all things straight once and for all one of these days, and judgment will be given according to His Word. May God bless each of you as you follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Let's stand together as we pray.